Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. I truly enjoy being in this fellowship. I don't know of any other place I'd rather be than right here with my family, with my church family, with my friends. I think we have, if I may be so bold, I think we have a very good working understanding of worship. Sometimes in the worship service, I don't like to sing. I like to listen to you sing. And I imagine in my mind, if I were God, how would this time together in worship move me? And it moves me greatly. I have a very deep abiding peace, knowing that I believe God is satisfied with our sacrifice of praise. If you're a Christian, what is it that Jesus Christ has saved you to do in His kingdom? If you're a Christian, what has Jesus Christ saved you to do in His kingdom? What ministry would He have you engage in? What spiritual gift or gifts has the Holy Spirit given you that He would have you use in helping other people? There are six principal activities of the Christian in the life that the Lord has given us here in the earth. We went over those six activities last Sunday. I'm just going to mention them this morning. They're found in Acts chapter 2, 38 through 47. You don't need to turn there. But they're also listed in the front of your bulletin. They are the core values that we have here as a church. First of all, there is discipleship, which is the study of the Word of God, the study of the doctrines of the faith, the study of the truth of God's Word. There is fellowship, which is getting involved in the local church, getting involved in church life. Not being content to be a pew warmer, but to get out on the field of service, get out into the harvest, and assist brothers and sisters in bringing the harvest in to the kingdom. There is worship, which is entering the presence of God with a humble heart, with a voice of praise, and with a spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving. There is prayer, which is ongoing conversation with God. It is not only speaking to the Lord from the deepest needs of our heart, but listening to the Lord as He addresses those needs in our life. There is ministry, and ministry is simply helping others in their need. And then the last is outreach, which is sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with other people. Those are the six primary, those are the six principal activities of the Christian in what life God has blessed him with. These are also the activities that the Christian helps other individuals engage in so that they can grow to spiritual faith and maturity in Jesus Christ. It's a two-way street. We're to be like the Sea of Galilee, Living water flowing in, living water flowing out. Living water flowing in as we study the Word of God, as we engage in church fellowship, as we converse with God, as He converses with us, as we minister to others, all of these activities that we engage in, the water of Christ, the living water of Christ flows in. But we're also to disciple others. We're also to pray with others. We're also to minister to others. We're also to reach out to others. We're also to encourage others in worship. The living water of Christ flowing out. So for the next several Sundays, we want to explore the ways that we are to serve the Lord Jesus Christ by ministering to others. Ways in which we can serve the Lord Jesus Christ by ministering to others. And by the way, the English word serving and the English word ministering comes from the same Greek word, the one Greek word, diakoneo. Diakoneo. It is translated in your English Bible in some places, serving, in other places, ministry. But it comes from the same word. So one who serves is one who ministers. And one who ministers is one who serves. Both words emphasize the activity in helping others. The activity in helping others. Turn to Matthew chapter 25, if you will, please. Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 22. Matthew 25, excuse me, beginning in verse 34. Matthew 25, starting in verse 34. The context of this passage is God's judgment upon the nations. God's judgment upon the nation. When Christ comes again, establishes his kingdom, and the nations will be judged. We pick up in verse 34. The king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it unto me." Jesus mentions several ways here. Several ways that a Christian is personally involved in ministry. Look at them. Feeding, befriending, visiting, clothing, encouraging. These are all activities that our Lord expects His people to be engaged in the work of His kingdom. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 27, Jesus says, "Who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." I am among you as one who serves. That was the attitude of Jesus in his ministry here on the earth. He came to be a servant. He came to serve God, his Father, but he also came to serve his people. So service was the focus of Jesus Christ in his public ministry. It was also the focus of the first century Christian church, which we read in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 47. It has also been the focus of the Christian church down through Christian history. The church, the true Christian church, has always sought to minister to the needs of those around them, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the lost, but to also serve and to minister the resources of the kingdom of God to those who are in need. The Christian church down through the years have found that ministry and service is the practical and the powerful demonstration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the practical and the powerful demonstration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christian ministry is the outflow of genuine salvation. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10, I want you to look at that passage. We need to see the words as well as hear the words. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. You know this passage by heart, but we need to see it again with our eyes. Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And we usually stop there when we're quoting this passage of Scripture, but to stop there, we only get part of the story. We need to go on to verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Notice from the text, we're not saved by what we do. We're saved by what Jesus has already done. Amen. We do not believe that salvation is by our works. Salvation is by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Good deeds do not save us, but good deeds are the result of our being saved. James says, "Faith without works is what? Is what? Is what? It is dead." Dare I ask the question this morning, is your faith dead? Is your faith dead? Faith without works is dead. Listen, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is the foundation. Is the foundation for Christian ministry. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, is the foundation for Christian ministry. Love for Jesus Christ and for others is the motive behind Christian ministry. Love for Jesus Christ and others is the motive behind Christian ministry. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do Christian ministry. And the giving of or the granting of spiritual gifts enables us to perform that Christian ministry. It's all about God and what He would have us do. And so I want to focus our attention for just a few moments on serving, ministering, helping others by God's grace. And so this new series of sermons will focus in on serving by grace. But before we get too far along in the subject of spiritual gifts, which we will get to in a couple of Sundays, before we get too far along in that subject, it's important that we understand the biblical principles and the parameters that the Scripture sets with regard to spiritual gifts. So I want you to turn to our text this morning that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 4 through 7 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7 and verse 11. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And now verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. This is the word of God. May he add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. A few things that I want us to note. Five things particularly. First of all, I want you to note the word gifts. You have that there in verse 4. The word gifts. It's plural because there is more than one gift. The Greek word is charismaton. Charismaton. And the root word for charismaton is the Greek word charis, which is the word for grace. Charis. Grace. Grace is God's favor. Grace is God's benefit, God's goodness toward you. Grace is what God does for you, in you, and through you. It is God's supernatural empowerment in your life. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't buy it. You can't bargain for it. You can't steal it or borrow it. It comes from God. Whatever God gives you, he gives it to you as a gift by his grace because he wants you to have it. Understand that. And parenthetically, dear friends, everything that we receive from God is by his grace. We would not be here this morning if it were not for God's grace. We would not be saved if it were not for God's grace. We would not have a copy of the Word of God if it were not for God's grace. We would not understand what this book says and what it means if it were not for God's grace. He gives us understanding. He gives us knowledge. He gives us power. He gives us wisdom. He gives us encouragement. He speaks to us and he listens as we speak to him. He guides our footsteps. He enlightens our lives. He blesses us with friendship. He's given us eternal life. He's given us the promise of glory and resurrection after. All of these things are by God's grace. We did not come by them on our own. We did not devise these things by our own intelligence or skill. God has given them to us. They are because of his grace. Understand also that a spiritual gift is not the same thing as a natural talent or skill or ability. By definition, charismaton is a supernatural empowerment. You may have natural skills and natural abilities and natural talents. But that doesn't mean what you can do naturally is what God will empower you to do supernaturally. What do I mean by that? Well, you may be an effective orator on the floor of the United States Senate, but that doesn't mean you'll be an effective preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may have an understanding of the principles of finance down at the bank, but that does not mean that you will appreciate the principles of biblical stewardship in the church. Charismaton is a supernatural empowerment of God in your life that by his grace he has extended to you so that you will carry out a divine function in his kingdom for the rest of your life here on the earth. That's putting it in a nutshell, but that's what it is. Also, I want you to notice that these gifts vary one from another. They're not all the same. They're different from each other in rank and in function, and they're distributed differently by the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul wrote in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as we read in verse 11, he distributes the spiritual gifts. He empowers God's people as he chooses, not as I choose. Second, I want you to note the word in verse 5, administrations or ministries. It is the word diakonion. Diakonion. It's the same root word for servant, or what we would call today in the English-speaking church, deacon. Now, in the Baptist church, a deacon is an individual who occupies an office. The Bible talks about officers in the church, talks about elders and bishops and deacons. But the office deacon is occupied by an individual who is recognized by the Lord and by the church as a servant, because that's what the word means. Diakonos, servant. And in this church, a deacon is a servant leader. A deacon is not a power broker. A deacon is not above the pastor. A deacon does not rule the church. A deacon is a servant leader. And we'll talk about that more next Sunday. Diakonion. It's a spiritual service of ministry. And I want you to notice also here in verse 5 that they vary in function. They're not all the same. Service takes many forms. And there are various levels of service. They differ from each other in rank and in grade. And again, they are appointed by the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives as he desires, and he appoints you to various ministries or various areas of service that he wants you to function in. That's why the Apostle Paul writes in verse 5, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. It is the Holy Spirit who empowers. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who appoints. He appoints us to these various areas of ministry. Third, I want you to note in verse 6 that there are activities or effects. Look at verse 6. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. That word activities can be translated as effects or operations, but they mean the same thing. It's the application of the empowerment that the Holy Spirit places upon you. It is the carrying out of the ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ has appointed you to. And again, they vary from individual to individual. The word diversity in verse 4 is the same word as differences in verse 5, is the same word as diversities in verse 6. Why are they translated with different words? You'll have to go back to 1601 and talk to the translators about that. I don't know why. It's the same Greek word. I don't know why you have diversities as opposed to differences when it's the same word. But that's not the point here this morning. The word activities, the word effects, energematone, and the root word is energy. It is the Greek word from which we get our English word energy. It means activities. It means to engage. It means to be active, actively involved in what God has opened the doors of opportunity for you to do. They're not all the same. They're different from each other. But they're produced by the one true God who empowers all of these gifts, all of these ministries, and in all of these activities through his Holy Spirit, appoints you to them through his Son Jesus Christ and gives you the opportunities to follow through with them as you live your daily life. So the point here is, whatever it is that God has given you, and in this case, spiritual gifts, which we're going to be talking about for the next several Sundays, it is God who empowers you to do what it is he wants you to do. It is God who appoints you to do what it is that he wants you to do. It is God who opens up doors of activity so that you can be involved in what it is that God wants you to do. The question again is, what is it that Jesus Christ has saved you to do in his kingdom? What is it that you're supposed to be doing as a result of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, as a result of the appointment of Jesus Christ, as a result of the opportunities of service that God has provided? What is it that God wants you to do? The fourth thing I want us to note this morning is that the Holy Spirit decides what gift or what gifts to give to what Christians. Now, I don't want to run the risk of offending anyone. You cannot learn these gifts. If you learn these gifts, then it's not a supernatural empowerment. You can sharpen your skills in ministering these gifts, but you cannot learn these gifts. Verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. It's not up to the church to decide what ministry the Lord would have you engage in. What gifts the Holy Spirit affects in your life is made clear in the ministries that you engage in the service that you render to Jesus Christ by helping others. These are things that God has given to you by his grace. These are not things that you get a bright idea that that's what you want to do, and so you learn how to do it. I've shared with some of you before, and I'll share it again because I need to remind myself. I don't do what I do here, behind the sacred desk. I don't do what I do here because I think it's a great idea. You do not know how much this terrifies me. You have no clue. By nature, I'm shy and reserved. When I was in high school, and even when I was in college, I would skip days in class where I had to give an oral report before the class. I was terrified to stand in front of people and to speak. I was like Moses. I would trip over my tongue. My mind would go in a blank, and I couldn't think of what it was I was supposed to say. Now, you probably wouldn't think that of me now. But what I do here is not a natural ability for me. God called me to preach, and God has empowered me to do that, and I do that in obedience to what He has called me to do. But this is not natural for Gary Martin. This is not normal for him. I could probably take my coat off right now, take my shirt off, and wring the sweat out of it. Now, you may very well say, well, you went to college and you went to seminary and you went to postgraduate school in order to learn how to preach. No, God gave me the gift of preaching. I just learned how to sharpen my skills. I was preaching long before I went to college. I was leading in Bible studies long before I graduated from high school. It's a supernatural empowerment that the Holy Spirit of God gives you. You don't learn it, you receive it. And then you involve yourself in it as the Holy Spirit leads you. You get actively involved in it. Your skills are sharpened. Your effectiveness is enhanced. That's what the Holy Spirit's empowerment of spiritual gifts in our lives is really all about. Spiritual gifts and spiritual ministries are two sides of the same coin. Spiritual gifts and spiritual ministries are two sides of the same coin. A Christian ministers according to the spiritual gift that has been given to him. And the spiritual gift that he's been given by the Holy Spirit determines what ministry he's going to be involved in. Finally, the Holy Spirit places within the local church. And here's why I want all of us to wake up and listen. Are you awake? Are you dreaming about the football game this afternoon? Are you worried about the storm that's blowing in tonight? Are you concerned about the roast that's burning in the oven? Then listen. In verse 7, the Apostle Paul writes, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit or the benefit of all." Now listen to me. I've been too long in the ministry to ignore this and to have you just spit and whistle over the passage like it doesn't mean anything. The Holy Spirit places within the local church those gifted Christians that He deems necessary for that church to carry on its particular ministry in the place where Jesus Christ has established it. Now, you didn't hear that, so I'm going to repeat it. The Holy Spirit places within the local church those gifted Christians He deems necessary for that church to carry on its particular ministry in the place where Jesus Christ has established it. So as each individual Christian, that's you, that's me, as each individual Christian engages in the ministry that he has been gifted in, the whole church benefits. Everybody benefits from you doing what God has called you to do, from what the Holy Spirit has empowered you to do, from what Jesus Christ has appointed you to do, from what God the Father has given you opportunity to do. Everyone benefits from your ministry. You got that? Everybody understand that? Conversely, and here's the big but. Conversely, when the individual Christian does not engage in the ministry that he is gifted in, when he does not engage in the ministry that he is gifted in, the entire church and community and that Christian individual suffers loss. When that individual Christian does not engage in what the Holy Spirit has gifted him to do, in that ministry that he's been appointed to by Jesus Christ, given the opportunities that God the Father has provided, when he does not engage in ministry, the entire church, the entire community, and that individual Christian suffers loss. He forfeits spiritual growth that he could have had if he'd simply done or is engaged in doing what God has saved him and called him to do. Now, what is it that Jesus Christ has saved you to do? What is it? What ministry would he have you engage in this local body and through this local body in this community? What spiritual gifts has the Holy Spirit given you? What supernatural empowerment has the Holy Spirit placed in your life that he would have you use in helping other people? If you don't know, then you need to make it a matter of daily prayer, asking God to reveal that to you. If you do know, then you need to make it a matter of daily prayer that the Holy Spirit will give you courage, boldness, and opportunity to do what it is he saved you to do, to do what it is he empowered you to do what it is he appointed you to do what it is he gives you opportunities to do. Let's stand and pray. Father, as we prepare to come to the table, to be reminded once again of the great sacrifice that Jesus Christ has given upon the cross, remind us, Lord God, that he did not take that sacrifice lightly, that you did not take that sacrifice lightly, that the Holy Spirit did not take that sacrifice lightly. Therefore, we approach the table with all seriousness and sobriety. When we take the cup, when we take the bread, remind us that Jesus offered his physical life so that we who are dead in trespasses and sin might have life in him. And as we partake of the elements, remind us that because of Jesus Christ, we are to live our lives a living sacrifice for Him until He comes again. This I ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Deacons, if you will come and attend to the table. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on Him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to Him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.